feel good with this right here. Hi, my name is Pete, and I am an alcoholic. I like to stay up for days. Thank you for letting me be here and sharing my experience and help you guys. Let me see here. My sobriety date is October 1st, 2005, and I have a sponsor, and I have a home group, which is the Five Cities group up in the Mesa there. And I'd like to welcome the newcomers and the ones that don't want to admit it, because that was me. And I am born and raised here in Santa Maria, and it feels good to be here. I live in the Pomo, and I hardly ever come across the bridge. But it felt good to come across the bridge tonight, you know what I mean? And in the beginning, you know, I really didn't think I had a problem with alcohol and drug abuse. I remember the first time that I came to this room was to bring my brother-in-law in 1984 because he had lost his license, and so I drove him here. And it was back when you could smoke in here, and it was all like just smoked out. And I think that corner over there was like the non-smoking section, which was kind of weird. But we sat against the wall back there, I remember. And he was court ordered, you know. So I'm sitting here and I'm looking around and I'm going, damn, these people are fucked up in here. You know what I mean? And so I would take him here and I would just drop him off and I would just, and then I'd leave. So come to find out, you know, probably 10 years later, I was in here, you know. In the beginning, when I first got sober, I tried to figure out when I became alcoholic, you know. And because I tried to figure it out, what, you know, what was up. And so I thought it was when it was when I took my first drink. And for me, once I started getting sober, I figured out that it was prior to that. It was like in the second grade. Because I remember in the second grade, they would have show and tell at school. I went to Rice School over there off of Donovan. And they would have show and tell right after summer when you first started school, you know. And people would bring in all these little things from different areas where they had went vacationing, you know. And I remember this little girl brought in a little bear from Tahoe, a little carved bear, you know. And then other people brought, this one kid brought in a starfish and some shells from Hawaii. And another kid brought Mickey Mouse ears, you know, they went to Disneyland. And I worked out in the fields with my parents. And I wasn't about to bring strawberries and broccoli to school, you know what I mean? So I lied. Yeah, I went to Disneyland too, you know what I mean? We went fishing and you know what I mean? I was out in Cisco Walk working with grapes, you know, just at that time I was just going just to, because, you know, I just went with my older brothers and my family, you know? And so I was already lying at second grade. That's the age of my granddaughter is right now. And I look back and I go, man, that's pretty sad. You know, I am that person that if it says wet paint, I will try to touch it. You know what I mean? Because I want to see how wet it is, you know what I mean? The normal person would just say, oh, wet paint, and they walk away, you know, and they don't even get near it, you know? I'm over there going like, oh, yeah, fucking wet. You know? Stuff like that, you know? I do that, and I still do that to this day. You know what I mean? I am just, that's just the way I'm wired, you know? And then if you had alcohol and drugs, in my case, it just escalates. I'm not going to lie to you guys. I had a good run. You know what I mean? I had a good run. Because the fact is that I haven't been arrested yet. You know what I mean? I was off the grid until I started my school district job where I got fingerprinted. That was the first time I ever got fingerprinted in my life. You know what I mean? And so, you know, all my homies and other family members that were getting arrested and DUIs and wrecking cars and all that, they were just stupid, you know what I mean? They just couldn't hang. That was their problem, you know what I mean? And so I didn't think I had a problem, you know? I've only had 3 jobs in my entire life, you know? A wife, children, home, all the things, you know what I mean? So I wasn't that guy that was riding to the projects over there at Evans Park on a 10 speed, you know? Now that's an alcoholic right there. You know what I mean? That's an alcoholic. well, I am that alcoholic, you know. And so I had a problem coming in here and admitting, you know, that I was an alcoholic, you know, an addict. And so my life goes on, and the first time that I really, really experienced partying hard was when I graduated high school. I went to a decent mechanics school in Phoenix, Arizona. And then that time, it was legal drinking age was 18. And so I left San Marino High, and I had a roommate from here, and we both went up to Phoenix, and they had drive-through liquor stores over there. like Jack in the Box, you come up to the first one and go, I'll have a case of Coronas and a bottle of Jack Daniel's. And then you go to the next one, and then you pay, and then they give you your shit, and then you dick off, you know? You can go to, you know, all the nudie bars, all that good stuff, you know what I mean? And that was cool. Yeah. So it was on, you know what I mean? It was on. And so then when I got there, I remember meeting up with a bunch of guys from California area, and we kind of had our own little group, you know, and we would just have fun. We had fun. And so when I came back after a year and a half of going to school there, I started working at a trucking company. It's no longer here in Santa Maria, over there off of Boone Street. I was working in the shop, and they were the older guys in the shop. You know, I was barely 19, and all the guys were like, you know, in their 30s and 40s. And I would hang out. I loved to hang out with them. You know what I mean? I'd hear them, and then they were cussing and swearing and talking stories and stuff, and that was cool, you know? And at that time, my boss, he was going through a divorce. And so he would tell me, hey, Petey, let's go. He wanted me to be his not-so-drunk driver, you know what I mean? And so we would go to Butch Cassidy's. It was on Main Street. And we'd go there. And I told him, I can't go in the bar, man. I'm barely 19. And in that era, it was the actual good old boy setup, you know what I mean? So he goes, if you're with me, he goes, don't worry. What? And hey, let's go. So we go, and I remember at the bar, they had a clock that ran backwards. It was pretty cool. And so we'd go in there, and I'd get up on the bar, you know, and what do you want? You know, I go, oh, I used to like, my drink was tequila. I want to get messed up, and I want to get messed up right now. I don't want to drink beer all night long and start pissing and that and do that shit. I want to get hammered, you know. So I remember ordering a double shot of tequila and a soda. And the guy doesn't card me, doesn't nothing. I'm with Ed, and everything's cool, you know what I mean? And I remember at that era, one of the local judges had gotten busted for doing coke and shit, and he would go there, too. And it was all this crew of guys. It was a crew of guys that were there from San Marino, and it was fun. There I go again. It was fun. Still no trouble. Back in that era, if you got pulled over here in Santa Maria in the early 80s, late 70s, the cops would just take your stuff and then just say, you know what, if I see you cruising around again, I'll pull you in. Okay. So they would take our beer and they'd put it in their trunk. And then we would go and do the Hey Mister over here at Aloha Market or a Home Food Basket on Main Street. You know what I mean? And then, or we had to hunt down a buddy of mine that looked like he was 21 when he was, you know, 17. And so we'd go and we'd have fun, you know. I remember one time I had a 64 Impala SS. It was my first car. And it was laid out on the ground and stuff. And we'd bought some beer at that little market on Boone Street, right on the corner there. And so we buy the beer. And got weed, and we're going down Boone Street, and then we turn, and then we go by the police department when it was on Cook Street right there, and we're laughing, you know, we're going, yeah, yeah, yeah. So we're going down Cook Street, and then we cross over, and then all of a sudden, a cop car comes out of the parking lot, and I'm like, oh, shit. My buddy was driving, I was letting him drive my car, and I'm sitting passenger, and I got a 12-pack between my legs on the floor there. I'm going, shit. I go, turn right. And it was right where Mr. Donut was. I think it was right over here, right behind where Mervin's at. And we turned right, and that cop turned right. I go, shit. I go, turn right again. And so he turned right again, and then there was the post office used to be right there. And he hits us with the light right there, right when we turned that right in front of the post office. So I told him, I go, you know what, park next to the curb, parallel with the curb. And he's going, shit, man, we got that. We got weed. Oh, man. So he I go, don't sweat it, man. Just pull up next to the curb as close as you can get it, but don't hit my fucking car on the curb, you know what I mean? So he pulls up next to the curb, and I'm looking back, and the cop comes out, and he's walking, and my car's lowered, so the roof of the car is probably about right here, you know what I mean? So he's walking, and he's walking right here. I grab the 12-pack, and the curves are really tall. They're still tall there, even over here. The curves are right there, so I go like this, and I put the beer like that. And I'm sitting there, and the cop's looking in there, and he goes, what are you guys doing? I go, oh, we're looking for girls. And we're having, you know, where's the party at? Registration license, and didn't even ask for insurance back then. And so and he's looking in the car. Everything's cool, nothing in the car. All right. So he walks off, and as he's walking off, I'm grabbing the 12-pack and I'm putting back in the car. That's fun. I like that shit. You know what I mean? I like almost getting busted, you know what I mean? That's a high for me right there, you know what I mean? So we're laughing our ass off, and everything's cool. You know what I mean? Cruise Broadway, drinking beer, you know what I mean? That's fun stuff, you know what I mean? And like I said, it was fun because I'd never gotten busted. So my life goes on like that for a long time. I remember another time, a buddy of mine, I had just bought my first new home over there by the Rancho Verde on the northwest corner of town, and I was at the second phase, and then where my backyard fence, they were starting the third phase of home. And I had a homie, he said, hey, I'm looking for some wood. You know, we've got wood. I want to build a patio. And I go, oh, yeah, I know where you can get some wood. I go, dude, I'll hook you up $100 for a truckload. Because you're on. I go, I'm just going to show up to your house, so it's not going to, I can't tell you when. So he's all right. And at that time, I had a little 50 Chevy pickup. And so I'm looking over the fence at nighttime, you know, and I'm checking it out. And they're building all these houses, all the stick-built houses are going up. And I staked it out, you know, like a good alcoholic addict does, you know what I mean? I'd ride my bike through there, see if there's security guards and nothing, you know what I mean? So I go, tonight's the night. So I'm in the garage, taking double shots. Okay. So I go, and I go into the neighbor, the next phase, and I back into this garage, and I'm starting to load these 2x4s. Boom. It's about 11 o'clock at night. And so then I got the truck about half full. And this light flashes on me, like, boom, out of nowhere. So as soon as I seen the light, I started unloading them. You know what I mean? And the security guy goes, hey, what are you doing here? And I go, oh, bro, I go, my boss told me to come deliver this material because I got to be up in Paso tomorrow at a job site up there. And so I go, I didn't want to do it early in the morning, so I just want to get it over with. He helps me unload the wood again. He puts the flashlight and we unload the wood. I like that feeling, you know what I mean? You know what I mean? That was another high right there, you know what I mean? I did shit like that all my life. Unloaded the truck, and then, all right, bro, thanks, man, appreciate it. Got the hell out of there. Unfortunately, the guy never got his wood, you know what I mean? But good thing I never took his money. But anyways, I did stuff like that all my life, you know what I mean? And it all stemmed around, in my later years, around alcohol and drug abuse, you know what I mean? So finally, I got to the point where it started, it wasn't so much that I was getting in trouble. I kind of was, but not as far as not with the law, but maybe in the household with the wife, you know, getting, you know, okay, I'm sorry, I won't do it no more. So it got to the point where the sorries meant nothing no more. You know what I mean? They had no value. They had no value. So, and growing up as in my household, my mom is from Mexico and my dad was from the Philippines, and I was born here in Santa Maria. You didn't seek professional help, you know what I mean? You didn't go see a psychiatrist, you know. If you went to a doctor, you better have a compound fracture. That bone better be coming out, you know what I mean? Because my mom would have some remedy and wrap it, and then you'd be okay, right? Drink this shit, and then you'd be all right, you know? So for me to go and say, hey, you know, a psychiatrist, I don't need a psychiatrist. That's for Looney Tunes, you know what I mean? Or I don't need therapy or, you know, no. So that was just totally, totally out of my vocabulary, you know what I mean, to do something like that. So I had a good job at that time. It was with the Teamsters, and I had badass insurance, top-of-the-line insurance. And so they had a deal where I could go. And so I remembered this place here because of bringing my brother-in-law here. And so But I didn't come here. So then what I end up making a phone call, and I remember making the phone call and then talking to this lady and said, "Hey, I got a friend that drinks a lot, and he's starting to get in, you know, stuff starting to unravel, you know what I mean?" And then she must have been, I know she was one of us, because she said, "Well, maybe you might want to try AA." "Oh, okay, I'll let him know," you know, and I hung up. So I found this outpatient program that was over in the mall parking lot. I don't know if it's still there, but there was an outpatient program there. And so I go there. I remember going there, and they did an intake on me. And I go in there, and my wife's in the car, and I go, "I'll just get to go in there by myself, you know what I mean, and I'll be right out, whatever." So, okay. So I go in there, and I had been smoking some crystal meth. So I go in there, and the guy that's doing the intake, he's asking my name and my, gets my insurance stuff, and he tells me, he goes, "You're high right now, huh?" "Well, give you that idea, you know what I mean?" I was like, and he goes, "You know what?" He goes, "You're holding right now too, I bet you." He goes, "You know what?" He goes, "If you don't come back when you're straight," because "I'll call the cops right now." And I go, okay. So I leave. So then my wife says, "Oh, so how'd it go?" And I go, "Oh, he was really, really busy. He said to come back in about 3 days. You know what I mean?" So then she goes, "Oh, okay." So I go back, and this time I am dry. And so I go in there, and we do the intake, and I start doing, we'd go in there, and it wasn't Alcoholics Anonymous, but it was a group of people with all kinds of different addictions, pills, alcohol, drugs, and so I'd go in there, and we'd sit, and it was probably about 12 of us, and we'd go in there, and it was on Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays. So I'd go, and I'd go Monday, and then I'd go Tuesday, and then Wednesday, and then I'd go Friday. Well, Friday, he would let us out early, and we'd come here. And then, and we do that for that Friday night meeting, you know, that podium meeting. And it was packed in here. It was packed in here. And so I started going there Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And then still drinking and using in between, you know, but not as much. So I'm doing good. So being born and raised here, right, and I was living in, I'd been in the Pomo already for quite a few years, I'd come across that bridge. And I'm going to that meeting. I was really, really going to go to that meeting that night. And I just went right off on Broadway. And I was born and raised in the Donovan Evans Park area. So I'd make a turn over there. And I'd go down this alley over here. And I'd find Robert over there, you know, partying. And, "Hey, what's up, bro?" So I'd hang out for, I'd make sure I time it, you know what I mean, for like an hour and a half. And then I'd get done. And then I'd head back home. I go back home. And then my wife would say, how was the meeting? I go, "Oh, it was so good, man. Brandon was talking about Serenity, and Robert, he was on fire. It was cool." So then I would go, and then I would do this little side run jobs, and then one day she asked me, she goes, "How was it?" And I go, "Oh, it was great, man. Jim was talking about Serenity, da 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 da." And then she goes, "You're lying." She goes, "I called your counselor, and you hadn't been there." He's full of shit. I was there. You know, I straight was just called out right there, and I still would lie. You know what I mean? I still lied. And so when I went back, he confronted me, and he goes, "Hey, you know, you've been being checked up on." And so I go, "Hey, man," I go, what's the next step if this outpatient doesn't work?" And he says, "Inpatient will be your next program, next step." So then I go, "Oh, what's inpatient?" He goes, you go somewhere for 28 days, and you get sober, you know? Okay. So I'm doing the Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, knowing I got a safety net of this inpatient thing. So I'm going, I'm kind of doing the deal, and then all of a sudden it got again, and it got to the point where, you know, it was bad. It was bad. I mean, it took me like 3 days to go get a pack of cigarettes type of deal. That bad. And so then, and come back with glitter all over me and shit. I'm sorry. I'm going to quit. You know, I'm not going to do this shit no more. You're done. And my wife, she works at Marion Hospital. She's been there for quite a few years, like 30 years. Well, she brought some papers that were some legal forms papers, you know what I mean? And she said they were divorce papers, you know what I mean? And She goes, here, sign these. You know what? I'm done with you. Okay. One part of me saying, damn, man. This is it. You're starting to, you know, forfeit your wife now, your family. And the other part of me saying, where do I sign? You know what I mean? I'll be honest with you. I signed that motherfucker. I signed it. It was just some... Later, she told me, you know, it was just some bullshit paper she got from work, you know, that looked legit. So then I go, okay, I'm going to sign it, but you know what? One more chance. Give me one more chance. I'm going to go to that outpatient they talked about. You know what I mean? Greg was talking about. So, okay. So it was a place I went to. It was up in Santa Cruz called Janus. And 28-day program. I drive up there, and I have my little... couple little suitcases of stuff, and I go in there, do the intake, and blah, blah, and then, okay, my mom and my wife had dropped me off there, and so I had to give up everything I had, you know what I mean? So then the guy does the intake, and he goes, okay, the newest fish goes with the guy that's been here the longest, and it was a co-ed men and women. I go, okay, cool. So then he goes, okay, looks like you're in room 9, and I go, all right, cool. So I get my stuff, and I walk in, and I'm going down and checking everything out, and I go to the room. And there's a guy standing, looking out the window, a bald-headed dude, with a swastika tattooed on the back of his neck. And I look, and I stand at the door like that, and then I went, this is fucking 9. So then I go back, and I go, you know what, I think you got me in the wrong room. And the guy, the counselor goes, no, you're in 9. So I says, oh, shit. So then I go, okay. So I go in there the second time, and I go in there, and I could obviously, you know, this was his side, so mine was his side. So I put my stuff in, and I didn't even use the lockers because I didn't even want to go across that deal there. So I just put my shit under the bed, boom, and I sit there, and I just go, hey, how's it going, man? And he just kind of had the same look that I had when I saw him, right? So he's like, what's up? That night I slept with a pencil in my hand all night, dude. This guy comes across this line, it's on, man. It's right here. So we'd get up in the morning, and they would say meditation was like at 7 in the morning, and I thought they said medications. So I get in line with the medications, you know what I mean? And the guy goes, there's nothing here on your file about no medications. So I go, you said medications? He goes, no, we said meditations. And I went, oh, okay. So we'd meditate for a little bit, and then we'd get up, and then we'd start doing our chores and stuff, and then we would do our stuff, and then we started reading a big book, and then in the evening we'd go to AA meetings, actual AA meetings there in Santa Cruz, and they got a boatload there in Santa Cruz, and so we would go, and some people would come up, and they would honk at our place, and we'd hop in their van or trucks, whatever, and then we would go to those meetings, and then we'd go to the meetings, and then we'd come back. And I'm a fish out of water. I'm in Santa Cruz, and I'm just looking around. I'm going, damn. You know what I mean? So I'd go. And they had big meetings there. I had monster meetings there, 100 plus, easy. And then their men's stag was just like outrageous. So we would go, and then we'd come back, and then all of a sudden, they say, well, Pete, you know what? We're going to give you a little responsibility. We want you to go to meetings, get phone numbers, and we want you to call people to pick us the groups up here for the men. Oh, okay, cool. So I'd go and I'd give my little, hey, bro, you know, what's your number? Would you mind picking us a few guys up here from Janus? Yeah, okay. So I'd get the phone number. Well, they would let me go into the office to call these guys. Well, I was calling my family, I was calling my brother, you know what I mean? I was calling everybody but these motherfuckers to come pick us up. So then the guy would come down the hallway, and I'd click, and I start dialing the guy's number, and I go, oh, I'm waiting to call this guy right now. So anything to hustle, you know what I mean? And so, because we had no privileges there, you know? So I do that deal, and I do like 58 meetings. I got a little cute little paper saying I did 58 AA meetings in 28 days, you know what I mean? So obviously, if you do the math, they shove you with AA. And then there was H and I. There were guys that would come in and talk to us and stuff. And some of it I could relate to, and some of it I couldn't, you know. But it was still, you know, I was pretty pumped up, Alcoholics Anonymous. So pumped up that when I left there, I wanted AA tattoos, AA jewelry, personalized plates, bumper stickers. I was like, fucking hey, man. I felt like Benny Hinn, you know what I mean? I was fired up. 28 days of being eating good and sleeping and not doing nothing. So I'm like, hey. So then I go to the Five Cities group there, and I look in the window, and I see their schedule. I'm like, okay, I'm going to come here. So I started going there at the 5:30 meeting, you know. Well, by the time this homie wakes up, and then 5:30 comes along, there's a whole lot of shit goes down, you know what I mean? And so, but I was going, I was fired up, and I didn't get no sponsor, you know, I didn't do any book work, any step work, no nothing. I was just showing up at the meetings, you know, and so then I would go, and unfortunately, for my story, I faded in and out for 2 years, going in, coming back out, going in, coming back out. And I had it wired so that when they say, anybody here with 30 days, please raise your hand. I was in the restroom, and then by that time, I'd walk back into the hall and sit down. So I didn't have to raise my hand. So it looked like I had 2 years, right? So then, he's never raising his hand, you know what I mean? No sponsor, no shit. And look at that, doing pretty good then. So it when I would use again and drink, I left off right where I did my first, started lying again. Starting, you know, calling off from sick from work, just all the things, you know what I mean? And so I finally broke down. I felt like that movie on, you guys ever watch that movie Ghost with Demi Moore? And you know the bad guys that die and they look like these black ghouls that go into the, I felt like that inside my heart. That's how I felt inside my soul, you know. I had a higher power, I just had put it back and stored it, you know, and I hadn't used it, you know. But I did have a higher power, which helped me out quite a bit. So, I started feeling like that. I started feeling darkness, you know what I mean? And just like why? Like, you know, I want to quit, you know? I want to stop drinking and using. And then next thing I'd be like, maybe not, you know what I mean? I can just fighting that for a long time. So then I finally, I remember going, they used to have this meeting in the Pomo at the senior center, and they would hand out this little book. And you'd put your name in the sobriety date in it, you know what I mean? And so this last go around, 30 days out, right here, you know, Pete, I'm an alcoholic. And I'm going through it, you know, to put my name on the you know, October 1st. And I'm going through it, and I seen my name, and it was scratched out. And I go to another, look at my name again, scratched out. Oh, a lot of them, a lot of scratched out Pete's, you know what I mean? So then I find the new one, and I put my name. And that's when I felt like I was letting down Alcoholics Anonymous. You know what I mean? That place don't work for shit. Look at Pete's fucking in now, man. This guy can't. It don't work. If it worked, he wouldn't be. He would be sober. He would be, you know, sober. So right there at that point, I felt like, you know what? I'm letting down this good program, this fellowship here, and I got to do something about it. You know what I mean? So what I started doing, I started screw the 5:30 meeting, and I started going to the 7 a.m. meeting. So I'd gotten a sponsor from here, and he would say, okay, Pete, you know, he was this hardcore guy, you know, call me every day, and blah, 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 okay. So I'm an early person, so I'd get up, and I'd go there early in the morning to the group, and I'd sit outside, wait for these older guys to come in to open up to make coffee. So I'm there, and I go, well, shit, I'm going to call my sponsor. It's 5:30 in the morning, you know what I mean? I'm like, oh, that's for you, honey, and then the wife would give me the phone or whatever. So then one day, he tells me at the convention, there, I think it was at the Vet, Santa Maria. Hey, B, what's up, bro? He's like, hey, do me a favor. He goes, don't be calling me so early in the morning. I go, you piece of shit. You told me to call you. You didn't tell me when. You know what I mean? Because he has like a 10 to like 5 job. You know what I mean? So then I got a resentment right there. I go, you know what? No, not a problem, dude. I go, I won't call you no more. Ever. You know what I mean? So I never called his ass again. I don't know what they call it. That's firing sponsor or whatever, but he was probably happy I didn't call him. So then I was there at the group, at the Mesa group, and this old guy used to come in there, and he'd show up every morning, and then I would see this guy, and I'd talk to him, and blah, blah. And then the guys there, probably like, it was probably about 6 months, 8 months. I was waiting like a little puppy outside. It was all dark and stuff, and then as soon as they opened the door, I'd get in, I'd turn the lights on, start making the coffee, boom, boom, boom. And after about 8 months, they go, hey, Pete, come here. So they sat me outside, and they go, we want to give you something, man. I go, okay. They go, here, it's the key to this place. What the? like, the key? I go, yeah. And he goes, you're here early. You might as well just open up. And so I still have that key to this day. You know what I mean? It's almost 12 years. So I go in there, and I, well, first he tells me, he goes, we're going to give you a key, but we're having a hard time making it because it says do not duplicate on it. Not a problem. I go, just give me the key, and I'll get one made. So the next day I give him his key, and I get my key, right? So then I go in there, and I start making the coffee, da-da-da. Well, this other cat would go in there, and I would see him, and I go, shit, he's here every day. I won't even have to call him. How cheery is that? He gets there, and he would say, Petey, get in the car. So I'd get in his little Prius, and we sit down there, and we start talking, and we start talking, you know, okay, okay. I'll read the big book, and blah, blah. So I started doing the deal, you know what I mean? I started doing the deal. And I secretary the meeting there on a Saturday, and making the coffee, doing that stuff. All those, I wouldn't do the bathrooms, though. I didn't clean the old bathrooms there. I ain't getting that dirty. But so then I started doing that, and life started getting better, you know? I go to this, I only do a few AA things, you know what I mean? I'm not that guy that goes to AA dances, go to, you know, unfortunately, but I'm just not that guy. I have a few things I do, and it works for me, you know? I was taught early to keep it simple. I go to this men's retreat out in Wasna every year. I go to jail once a month for the last 9 years, and I go to meetings every day. And that's what I do, you know what I mean? Some guys sponsor, some guys GSR, fucking central office, handout, whatever, you know what I mean? But that's what I do, you know what I mean? And that works for me. So I keep doing it, you know what I mean? Why screw up a good thing, you know what I mean? So I still go to jail, I go to that men's retreat, and I go to meetings every day, you know? Once I started doing that and started letting go, because you know what? Now, for me, drinking and not using is not a problem. It's living life on life's terms is what's the issues for me. I have bad problems with emotions will set me off. Happiness, sadness, confused, all those things will make me drink and use real fast. On the way over here, before I came over here, we had just gotten some new washers and dryers, and I hooked up the washer. Well, the dryer didn't have all the fittings. I made 3 freaking trips to the hardware store, man. I was cussing out the idiot that was giving me the stuff, and I was like, dude, I could work here. You're stupid, you know what I mean? I had to slow down. I had to slow my roll, you know what I mean? So then after I did, it felt okay. You know, it is what it is. I've learned a lot of things like that, you know what I mean? And life is good for me today. Like I said, I keep it really, really simple. Robert asked me if I would share here, you know? Before, I would be scared. But see, I'm not scared today because I'm in a room with a bunch of losers. Like me. You know what I mean? And I feel okay. When I was sober for 3 years, they asked me to read the chapter 3 at the convention at the Vets in San Luis. There's 600 people there. Plus, you have a microphone, and my voice to me sounds weird, me hearing it, you know what I mean? So this guy asked me if I would read it. And my sponsor says, you know, when someone asks you to do something, you do it, you know. Well, today I can say no, you know what I mean? But I did it at that time. But I read it, you know, and I was like, shit, man. I go in this place, it's fucking huge, this big old bunch of people. So then I finally, I had to look at it like I'm in the room with a bunch of losers, you know what I mean? That worked for me, you know what I mean? So I went up there and I sang it off like no big deal, you know what I mean? I sat down, no big deal. I would have never, ever, I had to be really, really drunk and high to do something like that, you know what I mean? Today I could do it. If you laugh at me today, it's none of my business. You know what I mean? I really don't care. I dislike confrontation. You know what I mean? Don't get me wrong. If you push me to the corner, I'm going to grab that stick right there, though. You know what I mean? I thought when I got sober, man, I'm going to have to do 65 on the freeway. You know, I'm going to have to... I can't say F words. I can't, you know, look at other chicks. I can't do all kinds of stuff. You know what I mean? Well, you can, you know what I mean? You can. I'm here to let you know. You know, when I'll tell another quick story. When that commitment I do out at the county jail, at the time, you had to have 5 years sobriety. And so I was going with a cat that had 43 years and my sponsor, which had probably close to 25 at the time. And so I'm looking at the paper and I go, shit, doc. I go, they want 5 years sobriety. I only got like 3. He goes, oh, yeah, it does. He goes, don't worry about it. I go, okay. So we go to this meeting. It's like an initiation meeting up there at San Luis. And so the guys ask me all these questions and stuff. And so then he asked me, he goes, how many years of sobriety you got? Well, before I could open my mouth, Doc with 43 years says, he's got 5. And I go, yeah, what he said, you know what I mean? And so I go, see, it wasn't a big deal, was it? And I go, fuck. So anyway, when we'd go to the jail, I'm sitting in the back of the Prius, these two old white guys in the front, and I'm thinking, one guy's 43 years and one guy's like 25. I go, this is going to be gangster right here. I'm going to get all the AA secrets on how to stay sober. You know what I mean? These guys are OGs right here. So I'm sitting in the back, and then one guy, Doc's telling Jack, oh, man, I had a problem taking a shit today. Oh, man, my back's been killing me. They were talking about all these medical stuff, you know, old men stuff. And I'm like, aren't we supposed to be talking about Alcoholics Anonymous, you know what I mean? I wanted to, you know, get all this info, you know what I mean? That was the last thing we talked about, you know what I mean? I'm like, what the heck? So then I was like, this is cool. I like this, you know what I mean? I like this deal. This is not a bad little deal here. You know, sure, sometimes it's not been good, you know what I mean? And there's been bad times, and don't get me wrong, I still think about drinking and using. I quit watching these intervention programs, you know what I mean? It's kind of like a trigger for me. They're all, yeah. I go, hey, I like that, you know? So I had to quit watching those things, but, you know, but I found out when it would take me out, it was when I was least expected. I wish I could get my hands on alcoholism, because I would choke that shit up. But it comes in disguises that you will never see. And you're going to be walking, and it's going to from the back of the head. You know, you think you're going to see it coming at you? You ain't going to see it coming at you. When that time comes, you better be ready for it. You know what I mean? And now with these cell phones, too, to find meetings. I used to have to look up this directory book when I'd go out of town to find meetings. Now with this, homegirl tells you exactly how to get there. You know what I mean? So there's no excuses on, I couldn't find a meeting, man. It's because you didn't want to. It's because you didn't want to, you know. So, I can't say enough about this fellowship. You know what I mean? It's all over the place. You know, if you don't want to get sober, it's because you don't want to surrender. I found that out. Once I surrendered, it started happening. But like the way I am, I want it right now, though. You know, I want 25 years right now. Boom. You know what I mean? I want a brand new Harley and a big house on an acre and a poem on it. I got an old Harley. I'm renting. And that's okay. You know what I mean? I lost or forfeited more shit sober than when I was out there. What the heck is that? You know what I mean? It's totally backwards, you know? But it is what it is, you know what I mean? So today I get to come here. I'm actually here. My wife can call Robert or something, say it was Pete there. and I was here, you know? And I, most likely, after this meeting, I will go straight home. You know what I mean? I'm pretty sure I will. But I don't know. I can't say enough, like I said, about this fellowship. So I just, you newcomers, keep coming back. Get a hold of somebody and start doing the deal here. Because life is good. You know what I mean? I have a son that is in some serious trouble. He's got a 5-year probation, felony probation. I've been seeing him. He's home now. But he was, he had 5 years hanging over his head. And I had to lead by example. Which was cool, you know what I mean? This fellowship right here, and he doesn't do the fellowship, but I don't force it, I don't push it down. So he knows it's there, though. He knows it's there. So God willing that maybe someday he will get a hold of it, or maybe someday he will just, boom, start doing stupid shit, you know what I mean? But it is what it is. So my name is Pete, and I am an alcoholic. Thank you, guys.